You and I have frustrations in our lives. We have that because of the way the world is at the present time, and a part of our struggle and wrestle, really, as Christian people, is that our eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ, and we are sharing in the life that He's given to us, and we'd like to see things in a way differently than they are, and the world is in a different place. And when we begin to move in step with the Spirit, we kind of hope everything will suddenly conform in that same way, and it doesn't do that right throughout our lives. So we deal with this frustration. The reading we're going to have, you'll pick up a little bit of that in a moment. My topic is freedom to participate in the new creation. If you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we'll take it from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The love of Christ urging us on, because we're convinced that one's died for all, therefore all have died. The human race, the Adam race in Adam, have all died in Jesus Christ. That scenario has been put to death, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. And in another place, Paul says he was raised, we've been raised with him, so that we might walk in newness of life. So we're walking in newness of life, but we're still within the creation that's affected by sin and death and the curse and the futility and frustrations of life. So in this setting, we walk nevertheless in newness of life. Then he says, from now on, therefore, because of what Jesus has done, because of his death and resurrection, because there's a new human race, Jew and Gentile together, one, a new humanity, everything in Adam's old hat. If they say church is old hat, say no, no, no. It's the new thing, the kingdom of God, life in Christ. That's the newness. If you're still stuck in sin and death and that's all you got, that's the old story. Start, get on board, have faith, look up, see Christ is risen. And there's a new story to get on board and participate in. So from now on, therefore, says the apostle, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. He was just some radical dude that got crucified on a cross by the Romans. We once knew him from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. This is our God who came to us as a true human being. This is our God who's truly human, now raised from the grave. In him is the new humanity begun. In him is the new creation. So he says, we don't regard Jesus just as any old human being. So then, if anyone is in Christ, there is, those words there is not even there. It's just, if anyone's in Christ, new creation. You're part of it. If you're in Christ, you've already begun. By faith, you've believed on him. You're underway. You're part of the renewed new creation in a sort of infant form in a way, but bursting out across the nations of the world. And ultimately, we'll see it not just by faith, but we'll see it by sight eventually. So all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Done. You've been reconciled to God. That's the finished work that he's done. Believe that by faith, trust that by faith, even when you feel totally depressed. Psalm 42, have a little read of that. If you're totally depressed, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? And then he remembers some of the old good times, and he remembers the truth of who he is, and he says to himself, you know, just as the deer pants for the flowing stream, he longs for God. So he preaches to himself and he says, hope in God, for I shall again praise him. So he's, these things happen. Depression's part of life as a Christian. So is sin and death and all the realities of that. But nevertheless, you're part of the new. All this is from God. And if anyone's in Christ, there's this new creation. Everything old's passed away. In Christ, you're on a trajectory which is all new. Everything's become new. Some days you'll look at it and think, oh, I don't know if I'm any different. I don't know if the world's any different. I don't know if this stuff's even right. Well, it is. And it's just a little doubt that got in the way for a while. So, everything old has passed away. Everything's become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Just have to be clear what that is. You try and get two people, you know, just two kids together that are at war with each other. It's not that easy, is it? The ministry of reconciliation. So it'll be really the witness, which is ours, that Christ reconciles us. He forgives us. He forgives and comes to us and brings us into a situation we couldn't get ourselves into. And so all this is from Christ. It's from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, or God in Christ, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, not adding up all that against them, instead bearing their sins, bearing our sins, and entrusting now to us the message of reconciliation. It's finished. God's brought us together. He's forgiven us. Therefore, you know, receive the Spirit, and then out of that you go, wow, I actually forgive as well. So we're ambassadors for Christ, and God's making his appeal through us. And so we entreat you on behalf of Christ, come on, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And as we work together with him, we urge you not to accept the grace of God in vain. So don't let this grace that's come to you just have a sort of an empty outcome. Continually, you know, just be renewed by the renewing of your mind, be transformed, and let that word have its work in you. I'd like to turn to Romans 8 now, if you can, and we'll pick up this matter of frustration. So, or futility. And Romans 8 is a wonderful passage that in which Paul is reflecting on his sufferings and helping others to understand them. And there are a lot of sufferings in the present time. They're not only the sufferings which you experience for proclaiming the gospel and getting a bit of pushback, getting thrown into prison or told to be quiet or told you're a Jesus nut or something. The sufferings of this present time do include your sufferings bodily, physically, mentally, you experience. But the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. So Paul is looking forward to a pretty substantial, wonderful thing. And by contrast, he thinks, okay, well, we'll suck it up in the meantime, because the great thing is yet before us, and you couldn't really compare the two. And then he says that the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children or the sons of God, for the unveiling. The whole creation is waiting with eager longing. So we've been talking about the theme this week has been the spirit of hope for humanity and for creation. So the whole of creation is waiting. It's got something built into it. It's expectant. God's designed it that way. And it's waiting with eager longing for the final coming appearing of Christ and the renewing of the heavens and the earth, all renewed. He says, and then he says, one of the reasons they're looking forward to that is the creation itself was subjected to futility. Now, you must have that as part of your theological understanding, that the creation itself can't reach its goal apart from Christ, apart from the Spirit, apart from the Creator, carrying and bringing the new forth. So the creation has a certain futility because of the human entry of sin into the world affected everything. Everything, all the creatures and plant life and the whole world in which we live in was affected. Death came in and human beings behaved differently, but the whole creation. So the creation was subjected to futility. Now, who did that? It was subjected not of its own will and not even by our wills, but by the will of the one who subjected it. And so really the Father, the Son and Spirit said, we're not going to reach that goal, not just as autonomous human beings leading the charge. No, he subjected it in hope. And so it is frustrated and has a certain futility at the present time, but that's in hope, and not hope, well, gee, we hope it works out. It's in genuine hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and it will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So, again, he reiterates, he realises what's happening within the creation. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains, like it's giving birth to something wonderful, but it's groaning in that process as the new one comes into birth. So it's been groaning in labour pains until now. So the hope of all creation's come among us now. Until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we too groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And the redemption of our bodies is going to be pretty tremendous. I'll be able to do a somersault again. Yes. And I might even have a go on that little bike that Judah was on, hacking along. A lot of our present frustration we feel bodily. We're part of the creation groaning, but we do look forward to the day, the redemption of our bodies and the redemption of the entirety, the whole of the creation. And so it's in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. You don't yet see it. We don't yet see it, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, for a little while was crucified, dead, and totally dead, and totally buried in the tomb, and for a little while suffered in a horrendous time. But we see him now, and our eyes are fixed on him, and we have faith in him. We're trusting. This is all our hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And so then, likewise, the Spirit helps us now in our weakness. For we don't even know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Oh, Father, please bring forth that new creation in its fullness. And it's just that groaning. Oh. And that's part of our expecting and hoping and looking forward to. Sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So those groans are the Spirit's picking all that up into true prayer. And now, we know that all things, how many things? Several? Couple? All things work together for good for those who love God. Do you love God? All things are working together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So you've been called, you're purposed, everything is working together for good for you. How good is that? Magnificent. And then we'll just get right down to the glorified bit. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You'll be just in that same image of his son. In order that Jesus might be the firstborn within a large family, global family, massive. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. Be at peace, be yourself. You can just be yourself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So there's that guarantee, that glorification's there. So there's our pattern, and there's our frustration as well, that the whole of creation feels and knows this futility, this inability to sort of do a lot really in life that we'd like to, but the inability to, you know, reach that goal and so on. In thinking through this message, just wanted to, I'm going to just sidebar one little illustration first. You know, when we think about what it means to participate, in 2 Peter 1:4, we're told we participate in the divine nature. And Tsukiyong before was talking about us being in the life of the Trinity or the triune God. I've got a little illustration for that. It's kind of like this. It's like all illustrations, it's not that very correct, but, you know, it'll do. In the playground, you remember you used to get a skipping rope, those of you still got a skipping rope. But you remember the long skipping rope where you could get a whole heap of people in it? So if you just think of someone holding one end and someone else got the other end, and then a whole heap of people in that skipping rope. And before you get into it, you had to do this, you know, and you'd kind of wait and hope you could jump in and join in. Well, part of that is that here's the Father and the Son together, and we'll have the rope can be the Spirit, and they've got this divine life already going. You know, the rope's clicking away, and the call or invitation is to, well, to come in Christ. I don't quite know how that works anyway. But in Christ, you join in the life and the fun of the triune God. How about that? And sometimes you have a little trip when you go to get in. Oh, we've got to start all over again. That's all part of it as well. We're all, you know, the body helping one another to get the hang of it. And so we now participate in the life and action and the fun of the triune God. And what that means is I've mentioned this before. I like mentioning it because I reckon it really helps. It helps me. I think it helps others. Is that David mentioned the other day that when that creational mandate was given to us, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, it's a partnership was given for the man and the woman together to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and everything that walks along under the paths of the sea. And he said that that is now and is, in fact, Jesus Christ and his bride together fulfilling the mandate. How about that? Because Adam and Eve failed in their creational mandate and things went south. But the new resurrected man has come, and together with the church, his bride, has called us to participate anew forgiven our sins, buried the old, and we're underway afresh in him. And so to participate in that creational mandate is part of important part of our lives, maybe the main part of our lives, and the creation is the primary thing and your participation in it. The second part is Ephesians 3, 8 and 9, where the Apostle Paul says that to him has been given we'll read it so then we don't miss it. So Ephesians 3, verse 8 and 9, and we had this in, I think, the first message, but he says that although he's the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles, the nations, the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So he links his job as an apostle to help people see the mystery of why God has brought the creation into being, of how, even though in sin and death making entry, his plan has gone on in redemption and will go on to glory as he's always planned it to be. And so that's our ministry, is to share in that. So through the church, the wisdom of God in its manifold expression and so on, rich variety, might now be made known to everyone, rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, the whole creation might see what this is about. So your task in life is twofold. Participation in your vocation, what God's given you to do in the world, by way of fruitfulness and so on, and also your participation in the new word, the word of life, the word of Christ, the word of hope for the world. Got that? Yeah. And third thing is the way to go about that. It's not by trickery or skullduggery or anything else. It's just by faith, hope and love. So love is the true accomplishment of Christ. It'll all be by his love that bore our sins and his love that rose. And in his love like now that leads the worship of God's people forward. So I often think about, you know, what it means now to be free. For freedom, Paul says, Christ has set us free. In that freedom, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So keep hearing the word, keep living in that word, and that then takes you afresh into your life within the creation. Did you know Suki Yong, who spoke here before me, did you know he was a surgeon? Sliced up people for a lot of his life. Stitched them back together, I suppose, at the same time. Got the bits out that weren't working too good and maybe had a few frustrations along the way that the creation wasn't working as well as it should. But nevertheless, join with his master, join with his Lord in the ministry of bringing healing and hope and so on to a human body, a sign of the one who's doing greater things than that. How about that? So one of the other speakers here, Troy Kammerman, he was the best welder in the state. How about that? Isn't it? Oh, well, second best. Okay. So some other guy pipped him at the post, and but he was, God gave him skills with welding. Some of us couldn't weld anyway with super glue two things together. But that's his task that he's been given. And then in that, here's the call to join with Paul to participate in the ministry of proclamation, you know, to tell people the mystery of what's really going on. So all of us and young people here, whatever job you take on, may the Lord bless you with it. I mean, if I had my chance over again, I'd like to have a crack at about 30 or 40 different jobs. I like to fly an aeroplane, you know, and I really love to be an AFL footballer. Not happening anytime soon, but there we are. You know, I would love to have. I had dairy cows, but I'd love to be a sheep farmer, where if you have a sleep in, it doesn't matter, you know. I'd love to work on a cattle station. You know, I still love cattle. I'd love to be a dog trainer. Wow, what great fun. And there is a myriad of occupations. A teacher, a language teacher. I'd love to play the saxophone like this guy. How good would that be? So whatever, you know, God's put in our hearts is so we can participate by the power of the Spirit in the whole of life and creation, but with frustration along the way. Oh, I hate my job. The boss is a pain in the... Yeah, guess what? Join the human race, you know? But pray for him or her and help them to not be so moody. Tell them about Jesus' great love for them, and then they'll probably give you the sack. But, you know, but nevertheless, you know, then you'll get a new job. All things will work together, you know. but, you know, whatever it is, God has gifted here. Just as someone once said, a human being is a skin full of gifts. And it's the gifts to share in the life of Christ, but also recognising the futility, the deep sadness that sometimes will happen in our lives. You and I will be faced with times of incredible sadness, and we'll feel like life's not worth going on. But his Spirit will come afresh to you and minister to you in your grief. Jesus is a man who is acquainted with grief. He's a man of sorrows. He lived among people who had grief. Their failures were enormous. The outcasts, broken-hearted. And he came to them with good news. But he was aware of their pains and difficulties, but he came and brought them blessing. And my goodness, did he heal a lot of people. And those that weren't, he made and pointed the way for the whole of the creation to get on board and calls, come on, come and join in the game. Come and join in the fun of Jesus Christ, the God of great joy and happiness. You know, there's a little story in the Bible about when people weren't responding to Jesus. You might remember the story that he told. He said, what shall I compare this generation like? And he was possibly looking out across the street. He said, it's like little kids. And mate, it'd been a pretty tough day for being a kid on this day, because there's a few kids wanted to, you know how you play doctors and nurses? Well, it's a bit, can be a bit icky, that game, but they were playing weddings, okay? That can be too, but anyway. So they were playing weddings, and it seems like they said, hey, come on, let's do something, we'll play weddings today. And the rest of the kids are going, nah, not joining in with that, not doing that. And he said, all right then, we'll play funerals. You guys are looking a bit dead today. What about we make up a funeral? You can hold the cask, I'll be the sad one at the front, and we'll walk together. And Jesus said, this generation is like that. John the Baptist came, was a bit serious, and steady-minded, and, you know, he just did everything well, and no one wanted to join in with what he was saying. And then Jesus came, and he's a party boy, but he's eating and drinking with sinners and having all the fun. He said, whether it was a serious moment or a fun moment, this generation didn't want to join in. He said that's, you know, he was just facing them with the fact of not wanting to participate in the good news he was bringing. How about that? So, you know, he didn't think, oh, well, it's a pretty tough generation. Maybe I got sent at the wrong time. No, in the fullness of time, at the right time, that word Dave gave us about the church just right at this moment for the ministry, the task God's given it at this very moment. So Jesus pressed on and opposition grew until it was everybody seemed to, they loved him and then they hated him and then they killed him. And then when on the third day rose from the grave with cheerful good news and peace. So he persisted in his ministry because he knew the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and had his mind focused on the goal where he'd been set. Set his eyes on Jerusalem, but it was more than Jerusalem. It's the new Jerusalem, the new community of faith, the new community of coming down and the human race redeemed. That's our plan. I said I thought I'd probably finish early today. I think I will. One of my favourite TV shows, and I've shared this a number of times, is Landline. Anyone watch Landline? Yeah. Oh, I love Landline, mostly because it's about on when I get home from church on Sunday. Ugh. And I'm a bit pooped and flick on the... Oh, there's Landline. And what happens on Landline is all these little examples, quite often, not always, but mostly, of agriculture and of some new hope sort of breaking forth in the midst of the creation as it is. My favourite one is that in Western Australia, all the salt bush was growing. Oh, even the salt bush had stopped growing. You know how you get those big patches of farming land, wheat farms, and all the salt lakes have kind of taken over, and it's gotten saltier and saltier. You couldn't grow anything there, and these farmers with acres and acres of wrecked land, they'd punished their land too much and made it too salty. Anyway, someone noticed that the salt bush still sort of grew there a bit. So he thought, I know what I'm going to do. He ran a line of salt bush along, and he made it the width of his header, you know, for harvesting the grain. And then he ran another line of salt bush and he did another line all the way along his big paddocks till he had a big paddock full of salt bush with strips. It was like a tiger, you know, big strips all across. And he planted wheat in there and the salt bush sucked up the salt and allowed the wheat to grow again. How about that? So he had green and gold stripy paddocks. And the whole experience was regeneration. That which was old was made new. Wasn't the final thing, but it was a sign, you know, of hopefulness. Just so many things like that in the world of agriculture. If you want a task, join in agriculture. And if you want a really frustrating task, put your hand up to coach Port Adelaide. There's tasks we've been given for the regeneration and the renewal of community life, of family life, life in the church. For some of you, some people, their primary calling is within the community of a life of the church, and that's fantastic as well. I was once a policeman and I still have heart when I see police has been some taking their own lives recently. They're so frustrated with the whatever it is. And then guilt builds up in our lives because of things we do or don't do well. And frustration, guilt, hopelessness builds in our hearts and so on. And we can't see the way forward, so we think. But, you know, my prayer and heart is for the renewal. Do you know what I mean? Of our society, so that we hope. And the Christian church is called to share in that, share the word with people no matter what, no matter where. Right, I'm easily able to fill more time, but my time's gone as well. So we're going to say a prayer and sing. We're going to sing a song. Just before we finish, you know that song we had with the Ebenezer in there? Do you know what an Ebenezer is? Yeah, but it was where there was a problem, wasn't there? And John Newton, I think, wrote a song that said, "Each Ebenezer I have in review, which is each troubled moment I look back on, confirms his good pleasure to see me right through." So each thing that didn't go so well and then God did a new thing confirms his good pleasure is to keep me in the new thing. May God add his blessing to the word today. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we close this meeting, this gathering, we close with hope. We close with the joy of Christ in our hearts, and we close with a confidence that your renewing power is continuing to make all things new and work all things together for good. Thank you for everybody who's helped to make this week a blessing, and may you continue to bless all the ministries in that regard. Thank you for new people, new friends, and Lord, we look forward to next year when Victor Harbour will still be here and many will come to seek new ways, perhaps, to enjoy one another's company as Christian people, be strengthened and renewed. Thank you, Lord, for all that's before us, and that our sins and death you've overcome. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.